Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
How are we doing tonight? We good? Let's see. I was looking around at the, so what is it? It's America Monday. Is that what that's called? America Monday. Okay. As an exercise, I'm curious, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. When I say America, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Go. Okay. Did I hear like NASCAR? Did I hear oil? Did I hear? I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to think of myself like the most American things that I can think of, and. Or J. Orlando, that's the most American thing. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, so I'm not a big, like, people are like, oh, are you a NASCAR fan? I'm actually, if you come and check it out, it actually has all the fruits of the spirit on it. So it's not actually an American themed shirt, but I feel like NASCAR was the closest thing I could get to when it comes to America Monday. So yeah, other than Aiden's hat and Jay Orlando's jet ski Orlando's. Well, let me see what this looks like. All right, let's see what this. All right, y'all, how do we look? How do we look? Oh, we look good. We look all right. Is this if this is America? Can I get a big America? 1, 2, 3. America. Oh my gosh! Okay, guys, I want us to be focused on the message tonight, not on my big forehead. Okay. Oh, all right. I think Aiden rocks it a little better anyway. Someone said nah over here. I love the hype. You're my hype guy this week, okay? So anytime I say amen, I'm just going to point to you and you're going to say? Amen. All right. Okay. A couple tones lower too. All right. I like it. Who's my amen person over here if I point over here? Oh, you got me? All right. If I say amen? Amen. All right. Straight up. And then where are the rest of my amen people? If I say amen, what are you guys going to say? Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Oh, let's go. I love that, guys. I love that. Hey, guys, we're wrapping up the first official day at camp. How we doing? We good? We got that energy? And not only are we wrapping up the first full day of camp, we're also going to be wrapping up the first chapter in the book of James. So as just a quick recap, because I don't know about you guys, I was not a very good student. My grades showed that I was a decent student, but I think I just was like one of those tryhards, but I never really did a good job of listening, so I had to have things repeated to me. So in the scheme of that, I'm going to also do some recap and repeat for you guys, because maybe some of you guys are like me. Maybe you just need to hear things over and over again until one day they click. So as I've been talking, we've been going through this, the book of James, and as we've been reading, the question that I had on the first night was, do you trust the promise? Do you trust in the promise that God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to bear the weight of the cross, to sacrifice himself, to be separated even from the Father, to bear the sin that we had, to take on that burden? And if you do, what James is challenging us in his book is that we then need to live out a life according to that promise. So last night, we started off with a big one. James came out strong, encouraging us to take joy in our trials, to take joy in the things that we are going through. And a lot of you guys raised your hands that some of y'all have been going through some things this year. And again, I just want to reinforce that idea that every trial you go through, it's a refining process to become complete in lacking nothing, so that when you do face another trial, not only are you able to empathize and love others through it, but also you're reinforcing within yourself that faith that you claim you have. And then today, this morning's chapel, we began to discern the difference between trials and temptations and how trials are things that come externally. Sometimes they come through God. God allows us to go through things. But then temptation is an internal decision that we make based off of the things that that entice us, the things that tempt us. And I mentioned, because each one of us are made in the image of God, but we're also different, each one of us may have different vices, different temptations, different sins. And the call that James is encouraging us within those scriptures is that we are to turn away from those temptations, to not be enticed. We're not a fish in the water that's just waiting to get hooked, all right? We want to be individuals who have enough self-control. I think self-control is actually on here. Yeah, there it is. It's right there. Have enough self-control to be able to flee anytime sin and temptation gets in our way. And then tonight, as we wrap up this chapter, James is going to be encouraging us and calling us up to not only listen to the word, but to do the word, to live it out. So we're going to be reading in James chapter 1, starting with verse 19 through 27. I want you guys to lock in. As your leaders were saying earlier, let's lock in, let's refocus, let's remember the three A's, right? And before we get into that, let's refocus our posture through prayer. So shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, Lord. And Lord, as we begin to discern the differences between hearing your word and listening to your word, I ask, Lord, that everything that you speak through me doesn't fall on deaf ears. That when they listen, they don't just listen simply because they think it's something good, but they listen because they have a desire to actually have an intentional relationship with you. Have your way in your words tonight, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, guys. James chapter 1, starting with verse 19 through 27, and you'll be hearing me say this all week. As you read these words, the ones that pop off the page, I want you to immediately highlight them, underline them, put question marks near them, and take those questions into your Devo time today, okay? So verse 19, it reads as follows. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Okay, so from the jump, he's like, you need to pay attention. Everyone, not some of you, not just the ladies in the room, not just the gentlemen in the room, not just the adults in the room, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. It's already there. It's already there. Which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So again, there's a lot to unpack there, but one thing that we get straight from the jump is James is calling us to listen. And I think sometimes we tend to confuse what hearing and what listening are and those differences. So tonight, I just want to help you guys understand what those differences are, because we never see in these scriptures James say you need to hear the word. He's saying that you need to listen. There are times that he uses the word hear, and you're about to learn that it's no good for us to just simply hear the word, but we need to listen. So what is hearing? Hearing is the physical ability to perceive sound or words. So hearing is the physical ability to perceive sounds, or words. So maybe, you know, again, it's like, well, what about individuals who maybe are deaf? Okay, that's where the word part comes into play, right? So not only do we hear with our ears, so right now, what you are doing, for those who can hear me, you are perceiving my sound. So you can hear my voice. You're like, all right, maybe you're like, oh my gosh, he's got a low voice, or man, why is it so crackly, or like this or that. Like, you know, you're hearing and you're perceiving my voice. Right before you guys came in here, the worship team, they were hearing their rehearsal. They were hearing how they sounded. And anytime they heard something that they didn't like, they had to adjust it. And then they heard again. So this idea of hearing is just that perception. Hearing in the word is like reading it, but then completely forgetting what you just read. Have you guys ever, like, you know, been just sitting there reading a book and then you trail off into just random thought, and then come to find out you've been reading the same page for the last 10 minutes? Because I got to be honest, that is me on a daily basis. It takes a lot for me to like truly stay focused. And so that's you, while you might be reading the words on the page, you're not getting any information from it. So that's what hearing is, okay? Hearing is passive. Hearing is passive. And just to give you a quick example, so I think I mentioned to you guys this morning that before I went into full-time ministry, I was in, right out of college, I went into banking and financial investing. So again, I worked with money on a daily basis, but I also worked with people. And so I was always on the phone with someone new, and oftentimes, and I don't know how they would butcher this, so my name is Justin, okay? Justin, okay? Pretty simple. Justina for my ladies in my city youth. I know they call me Justina, thank you. But when I get on the phone, when I'm on the phone talking with these individuals who, you know, want me to help them with their finances, I say, hey, you know, good morning, my name is Justin, how may I help you? And the first thing that usually comes out of the mouth, hey, Jeff, great to hear from you, man. Glad you're doing well. Hey, George, glad you're here. Hey, Joseph, you know, we're so happy that you're here. Hey, Jacob, you know, we're so we're so happy. Inside joke, you guys just aren't cool enough, so sorry. If you guys hang out with me at breakfast and lunch, maybe you'd get in on that joke. But no, they call me different names. Like, so I've been called George, I've been called Jeff, I've been called Jason, I've been called, I've been called a lot of names. And it's so funny because I laugh at it, because obviously when I get on the phone, those people, they weren't actually listening. They heard me, they like heard a voice on the other line, but they did not listen to a thing that I just said. And it was always a laugh just to hear that. But how often do we take that same mentality when we are reading scripture? How often when we are trying to identify the character of Jesus, we see him as a different person instead of seeing him as Jesus? Again, maybe you're like, oh, that's just Jose over there. Like, I don't know who that guy is, but like, I'm not reading the same Jesus that you're reading, Justin. So let me, where am I messing up? And in Matthew 13:13, Jesus actually says, though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And so even at his time when he was here on earth, we already know through James even doubted Jesus. And he was his half-brother. James even doubted Jesus. And it was because while he was hearing what Jesus had to say, he was not spending time to actually listen to what he was saying. So let's understand what listening is, okay? First and foremost, listening, while hearing is passive, listening is active. Listening requires engagement, and listening requires a response. So I'm going to say that again. Listening is active. Listening requires engagement, and listening requires a response. So one of the things I studied in college was communications, and one of the biggest things that they really hinted on was the importance of being a great listener. And what I learned is, especially in all the things that I've done, whether when I was in sales, when I was working in banking, when I, you know, any job that I did, the one thing that I really prided myself on was trying to listen for names. I wanted to hear their name because I'm like, all right, if I can at least remember their name, I was like, then there's an opportunity for me to foster a relationship with this person. Because I don't know about you guys, but again, like when I hear somebody say my name, that makes me feel like I'm seen. That makes me feel validated. That makes me feel affirmed that that person actually is taking the time to hear my story. So I want to encourage you guys, for those who are like, oh, like I'm so bad with names, one of the coolest things, one of the dopest skills that you could ever acquire in this life is spending time to actually listen and remember the names of the people that you encounter. So I'm going to do my best this week to try to remember as many of your names as possible. I'm going to botch it, but I'm also just going to be like, yeah, I totally messed your name up. But let me get to know you, all right? So I want to encourage that this week. Take time to know the names of your bunkmates. And this idea of listening, you know, I've been telling you guys this week how crucial the three A's have been in my life. And where the three A's came from was this lack or inability for me to hear from God. Maybe some of you guys are in a season right now where you're like, well, I'm praying, I think I'm reading my Bible, I think I'm doing all the right things, but man, for some reason, I cannot hear God. Or better yet, maybe you guys are like, man, like I don't even know if God is hearing me. And I was in that space. I was in that space way too often. And what I began to realize was it was less about trying to, because a lot of the times we say, oh, you know, I don't hear from God. Most of the time it's us presenting our requests to him, but and then not seeing the result that we want. And so therefore we're just thinking, oh, God's not listening to us. But what I want to challenge each and every one of you is while maybe you're not hearing from God, have you actually truly listened? Are you spending intentional time in the Word? Because James tells us here in verse 19 that, my dear brothers and sisters, take note that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen and slow to speak. There's an old saying where that's why God gave us two ears and a mouth, so that we can listen twice as much as we talk. And could it possibly be the reason you don't hear God or you're not listening to God is because you're too loud in your prayers? And when, hey, this is what I mean by that. One thing that I've started to do is there's prayers where I don't say a single word. I just sit there in his presence. And it is the most peaceful part of my day. And right now it happens right before worship ends. I get down and my prayer is simply me just opening my ears and opening my heart and just taking deep breaths in. Because I mentioned to you yesterday, even our breath can be worship to God. And it's been in those moments that not only have I been able to hear what the Lord wants to place on my heart to share with you guys, he's helped in my decision-making, and also I'm starting to see the fruit of my prayers when I actually present requests to him. Let me give you like a modern example. Let's say that you are trying to have a conversation with somebody, and then there's like a third person that keeps interrupting in the middle of the conversation. Maybe you have a friend. Let's say me and Jet Ski Orlando are talking, okay? I'm having a conversation. I'm trying to listen to him, okay? But for some reason, Philip and Aiden, they just want to keep talking about Aiden's hat while I'm trying to listen to Orlando. I mean, it's a great hat. It's a great hat. Don't get me wrong. But I'm trying to listen to Jet Ski Orlando, you know, talk about his problems here. It's like trying to hear that. You're getting so much information all at once that you don't know what's truth and what's not and how to actually respond. And so if I can just challenge you guys in your prayer time, what would it look like if instead of immediately going in, like, thank you, Lord, please, Lord, help me with this, Lord, you know, all that, what if it started like this? And you just sat there in his presence. You just sit there in his presence. Give him the first 5 to 15 seconds of your prayer. And then present your requests. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for clarity. What would that look like? I want to challenge you guys this week during your Devo time, during that time alone with God, like just dedicate a prayer to silence, because our silence can be some of the greatest honor for him. Because when we sit in that presence, oh my, guys, I can't explain the peace that we receive when we do this. So I just want to challenge you to try it for yourself. and let me know how it goes. But this idea of listening, it came from those three A's, okay? Like when I had a hard time listening, I started to think, okay, what areas within my prayer life is struggling? Well, first off, I'm starting to realize that usually I'm praying in moments where my emotions are very heightened. So that means I'm either scared, I'm anxious, I'm mad, I'm happy, I'm all these different things, instead of having a posture and attitude of like, okay, I need to balance out these emotions and as I present them to God. So that's where this idea of attitude came into place of like, okay, am I approaching this with selfish thoughts? Am I approaching this with selfish ambition? Because usually when we're anxious, when we're scared, when we're emotional, it often leads down to a road of us just starting to just ask God for all these things without actually hearing what he has to say for us. So that's where this idea of attitude came to be. And then this idea of attention, how do I limit or eliminate all the distractions around me so that when I actually do go into my Bible, I'm doing as James tells us in verse 24 through 26, where it says, specifically on 25, looking intently. So he says, look intently. So there's intention behind that. Is my intention, when I'm actually in my scripture, am I really trying to find those things? It's kind of like, have you guys ever done like a Where's Waldo? When you're doing like a Where's Waldo or like an I Spy, I don't know about you guys, so I'm like really blind. I'm really, really blind. And so I stick that book like right in my face, right? And I'm scanning that thing. And I'm looking with intention. And I'm trying to find the little weirdo with the red and yellow, with the red and white, okay? I'm looking for that guy, okay? So as funny as that sounds, okay, like this is not me saying you need to throw your face right into the book, all right? But what I'm telling you is when you are reading, I want you to search out the character of God within that. That's why when I tell you when we read scripture, the things that pop out immediately, I don't want you to wait because I don't want you to forget. I want you to immediately highlight. I want you to immediately underline. I want you to immediately ask questions. Because when we're doing that, we're following in James' command of looking intently towards God. And then finally, guys, that big idea of adjusting. Because I think, you know, again, let's go back to that example of I'm talking with Orlando, and maybe we're talking about something that is very polarizing. Maybe we have different viewpoints on a certain topic in the world. Recently, there was an unfortunate incident in Fort Wayne. It actually happened about 2 or 3 days ago, which I would love for us to pray over at the end. But we lost a young man in a police shooting. And I have a lot of friends who don't necessarily see the way that I see things. And I feel like I see things, I like to try to meet in the middle to try to understand. But basically, long story short, they asked me, well, what do you think about this? I'm like, oh, well, I was like, this is my viewpoint. This is unfortunate. I'm praying for both sides. I was like, I really hope that we can find peace in this. And it was a great conversation. Now, back during COVID, when we tried to have those conversations, there was a lot of people who were either far left or far right, and there was not many people who were willing to meet in the middle. The only way that we can really, truly resolve and restore things in this world is that if we're willing to truly listen and be willing to have our perspectives changed based off the information that's presented to us. And that's where this idea of adjustment comes from. It comes from when I read this passage and when it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. I'm reading it in a way of, okay, scripture is telling me that while the world says that I can do whatever I want, James is instructing me that whatever I read in this book, whatever I read in these letters, I need to obey it. I need to follow it, regardless of what the world tells me. And that's where you guys need to get to. You guys need to get to this mentality of not simply hearing something and then not liking how it sounds, so then you go to a new scripture and you hear that one, ooh, that one sounds better. We can't be buffet believers. We can't just pick and choose what we want. We need to read it, we need to acknowledge it for what it is, and we need to give glory to God when he shifts our perspective. Because change is good. All right, maybe some of you guys don't like change, okay? Understand that if you are going to be someone who is following Jesus, you are always going to look different from the world. You're always going to look strange. There's going to be times where you're going to have habits that need to be readjusted. And then in verse, as we continue on, what I really love at the beginning of this is he says that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And there's a couple stories in the Gospels that I see Jesus live out this idea. First one, and you guys can feel free to write these down, and you can turn to these stories maybe later on. The first one is the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. And then the second one is the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. And so I'm just gonna give you guys just a SparkNotes version of what Jesus' character looks like in both of these. So if James is calling us to be quick to listen and slow to speak, Jesus is our best example. So in the story of Zacchaeus, we're talking about this chief tax collector. He was viewed in the world as someone who betrayed the Jews. He swindled. He was a thief. People did not respect him. They did not like him, okay? Especially those who were Jewish. Now, when Jesus was entering into a town, there was some huge hysteria. Zacchaeus is a wee little man. Maybe you guys heard about this song back in Sunday school. Was talking about Zacchaeus, all right? He was a little dude. So in order to seek out Jesus, he had to climb a tree. And specifically in Luke, there's a verse in there that states that he climbed the tree because he wanted to see what Jesus was all about. He wanted to understand why people were so pulled towards him. And now while everyone else wanted to discredit him, wanted to sign him off, wanted to spit on him, yell at him, call him a traitor, call him treacherous, Jesus just walked up towards the tree, looked up at him, and said, "You will host me tonight for dinner, and we will have a conversation together." His response was one of patience. His response was one of kindness. And while the rest of the world wanted to look at him as a dirtbag, Jesus was like, "This is an opportunity for me to receive him and show him what true love looks like." He didn't use any violent language. Instead, he approached him patiently, composed, and asked to be invited in. In the same way, Jesus is patiently approaching you and is asking you to let him in. In John 8, we see the woman caught in adultery, and this is another beautiful story. And it shows, again, Jesus' composure, his patience, and the fact that he never lets anyone rush him with an answer. So we see the woman, she's caught in adultery, she's being drug out to the courtyard. The Pharisees are trying to use her as a trap, trying to trap Jesus because here we have somebody's like, well, if he condones this, then he's breaking the law. Then he's breaking the law of the scriptures. But if he stones her, then now his gospel mission has been corrupted because his mission was restoration. His mission was forgiveness. And here's the cool thing. The Pharisees, they continue to just pester and pester and pester him, asking him, "Hey, what are you going to do? How are you going to answer?" And Jesus' response was composed. It was postured. He dropped down in the sand, started writing some things, and then the only thing that came out of his mouth was he said, whoever is blameless may cast the first stone. And so I say this to you guys because just because the world is expecting you to provide an immediate answer, that does not mean you're called to give an unready response. Take your time. Be patient. Because here's the thing. What I can see within those two stories is Jesus' posture was towards listening to his Father first before offering someone an answer. And I think oftentimes, again, we are so pressured into defending ourselves, into offering a response, into acting accordingly to what the world wants before even bringing it to God and seeing what he desires. verses 22 to 25, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." So again, some of us are being deceived because we think that all we need to do is show up to church on Sunday. All we need to do is come to camp every summer. All we need to do is read our Bible every now and then. All we need to do is look shiny on the outside, but if our actions aren't dictating the things that we are reading, then all we are just individuals who are playing church and not being the church. So again, my challenge for you guys within this, and this is James's challenge for you, that we cannot simply just read this for what it is and not actually apply it in our daily lives. Because then he goes on to say, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So again, I told you guys about like one of my insecurities, which is my teeth, all right? So when I look at myself, like, I don't know, like sometimes like I look for the flaws. I look for the things. Like for the most part, I'm pretty sure a lot of us, it's pretty hard for us to forget what we look like right after we see ourselves in the mirror. And so that's what James is talking about, is like how crazy it is that of a metaphor that is, but it's so real when we read scripture and we're like, well, I don't know what that means, so I'm just going to go on with my life. No, like, seek it out. Because as we move forward, James is telling us that we are to look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue in it. So that means not only are you looking at it today, you're asking questions. You're looking at it tomorrow, you're asking more questions. You're looking at it beyond this week. I think one of the biggest challenges that you guys are going to have is this week, you are set up for success. You are set up for the opportunity to encounter Jesus here at Miracle Camp. Why? Because one, no electronics. You don't have your technology. All right, shout out that. You have camp counselors who are investing in you every single day. You get messages like this twice a day. And then you also get your own Devo time. Everything is so structured out. It's planned. But what's going to happen when you go home? What's going to happen when that friend wants to come over? What's going to happen when you have a travel ball? What's going to happen when you're thinking about starting up high school for my freshmen who are in here? What's going to happen for those who are in a relationship? And maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend's not here, but when you get home, you're going to be preoccupied with their time. Are you going to fall back into those habits and be so distracted by what the world is giving you that you fail to listen to the call that God has on your life? This is my challenge for you guys. We can't just be these believers that look shiny on Sundays. We have to be individuals, disciples, stewards of Christ's word Monday through Saturday as well. Because believers, they actively engage with the word. They ask questions. They persevere through trials. They wrestle with their temptations. And even when they miss the mark, when they mess up, they keep their gaze on Jesus. They keep their eyes open for his word. They keep their hands open for what he wants to put in them. Luke 11:28 says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." It's not enough to know scripture. Maybe some of you guys are like, oh man, like I know that John 3:16 says X, Y, Z. I know 1 John 3:18 says this. I know that Jesus did that. Like, that's great. I'm so glad to have that knowledge. But as I mentioned earlier, knowledge will only take us so far. The heart wisdom comes when we intentionally apply it to our current circumstances. True faith changes our mind and reshapes our heart to the point where we actually feel called to take action. Not just simply do it because we need to, but we do it because we want to, because we desire that intimacy with God. And as we wrap up the chapter, we see James in 26 and 27. You know, I think it gives us a good outlet, a good example of how we become not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so 26:27 says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. So here it is. To look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so just to give you guys some context, widows and orphans at the time, and really widows and orphans even in current society, they are a group, they are a sect, they are individuals who, if we give to them, chances are they will never be able to repay you. They will never be able to give back what you gave them. And so what Jesus is telling us is that if we want to be not just listeners, if we just not want to be hearers, but we want to be listeners and doers of the word, his religion, his faith, the thing that we're supposed to live out is we are to love those who offer us nothing. We are to love those who offer us nothing. If you are listening to scripture, as I am reading here, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless, this is the only thing, is to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So not only are we to love those who we know cannot repay, because guess what? We're in the same boat, okay? Jesus sacrificed himself, paid the debt that we were supposed to pay, knowing that we could not cash that check. So in the same essence, we are to keep that same energy. But then on top of that, if we want to be individuals who love others well, we need to make sure that we are keeping our hearts blameless as well, that we are protecting our hearts. And the only way that we can do that is when we see something from the world, we need to run to Scripture. This is the only place. You talk about that test that we were talking about yesterday, the tests and the trials. Imagine if you had a test in front of you, and then you also had the answer key right next to you. You guys would crush that test, right? You guys would absolutely kill it. He's like, I'll still fail it. We'll get you there, buddy. We'll get you there. This right here is your answer key, all right? This right here is your answer key. Whenever you are curious, whenever you are doubting, run to the scripture. Run to prayer. Run to your leaders. Run to your mentors. Because in Luke 19:10, so this is the same story. This is the conclusion of that story with Zacchaeus, all right? So a woman is saying, you know, oh my gosh, you know, you're so amazing. Like glory to you. And this is Jesus' response. He thanks the woman, he gives glory to God, and then he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus has a specific purpose for you, and he's seeking you out. And some of you haven't been hearing because you haven't been intentionally taking time to be with him. So my challenge to you guys is, how will you change the way you listen? How will you run to Scripture? What are some things that you're going to put in place as you leave this place in a couple days to make sure you still are listening with intention? Because, guys, I don't want us to be a Luke 6:46 generation. Specifically in Luke 6:46 through 9, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And as I close this out, and if the worship team wants to come forward, I want to let you guys know that when he is saying that, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? He is not being vindictive. He is not being he's not trying to de-edify you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to make you feel guilty. The way that he is presenting that, with open arms, saying, "Hey, Justin, I know that you haven't been living the way that you've been that you should be living. Why do you call me Lord, but don't do what I say? Come to me, and I can show you my character so that when you actually listen, you will do what I say." Be encouraged with that and knowing that he is receptive to you, that he's sitting there waiting for you to receive him. All you have to do is intentionally listen. Shall we pray?
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.